Live. And hello and welcome to another episode of Loose Cannon, the Loose Cannon show. Oh shit. I goofed. It always throws me off when I do stuff like that. So this week we are talking about the Brave Arsenal, the weapons that came to us from the Onslaught activity. They all have lore entries, and amazingly, they're all actually in the API, so we could just do our normal deal of getting them easily and reading them and talking about them.
Yes, sir.
So that's always really exciting. How have you been?
Good. Been back at it again with the white Vans. How's
What
your
does that mean?
grind?
Back at it again with the white Vans.
It gets repetitive sometimes, work. So I've gotten into like a another like workflow, and so it's like every day is the same thing for a minute. I don't like it when everything just is all planned out, but I understand why it's necessary.
What I do is basically very repetitive, and I've never really had a problem with that, with like just doing the same thing, because it's like I work in aerospace, so it's like we get engine control units in, or we are assembling them, and it's just like, okay, I'm assembling, I'm disassembling, I'm testing again, and this is over and over and over and over and over and over and over. What I hate is when I have no work. Which does happen kind of frequently lately because of supply chain issues.
Supply chain issues are a mother. So like that's been a huge deal for a while, ever since like a year after COVID, because that's how long it took for everybody to see the ramifications.
Exactly. No, like I trust me, I know. I'm living it at my job, and it's like I wouldn't mind it as much if I probably shouldn't say anymore, just to be safe.
No worries.
But sorry, there was some noise going on. So how do we want to do the lore card this week? Because the lore card is actually one of our entries. Do we want to slot the lore card in with the entry?
Unless you have a particular order, we could start with that one, or we could just do it when it comes up.
Well, it comes up very late. So let's do it first. The order that I
Yeah, let's do it
have
first.
is just alphabetical.
Okay.
So just
That
because
works.
that's just how I got the information off of Ishtar. It was alphabetically organized, so I just took it alphabetically and, procured the notes.
Good old Ishtar. Where would we be without Ishtar? Not here.
Yeah, not here. No, really, though, not here. So 12, 11, 10, 9. 12, 11, 10, 9. Okay. So, brought to you from the Destiny Armory Defined is our weekly lore card.
All right, so this is an oldie but goodie, but I thought it would be a little bit relevant because we've got, like Anonymous pointing out, we've got some new lore entries for our favorite weapons from the past that Shax took from the Crucible and stockpiled somewhere because he was sick of us abusing him.
Isn't that like
And
so
then,
weird though? Like that's like an in-universe thing. Like I remember there was an entry where Zavala was like goading or not goading, like kind of begging Shax to like rebuff. I think it was Suros Regime. He's like, make it better, Shax. And it's like Shax has like universal authority over our weapons. What the fuck?
Well, it's his contest mode or it's his game mode, so he oversees it, so he gets to call the shots,
But it's funny to think that like whenever there's a nerf, it's because Shax gets annoyed. Because we always blame nerfs on PvP, where it's like, oh, this weapon's too strong in PvP, now it's getting nerfed in PvE. And it's like, Shax, what the fuck?
You know, it's
Like,
also funny because there's a little bit of a canon that people may or may not know, but like he and Saladin had a fallen out because they had two different ideas of how things should be run in this in a PvP mode. So obviously Saladin is in charge of Iron Banner, and in Iron Banner, your power matter and all the other extra things you get matter, you know. So that's one viewpoint where he says, you know, no, you bring your best crap, you do everything you can, you throw it all at it, and then whoever has the best stuff wins, you know, like light against light, power matters, all that. And then you know, Shaxx is different. He says, no, man, we need to make it level. I want to see who's really the top dog, who's really got what it takes to beat each other. And so we need to put everybody on a le pl level playing field because we're trying to hone our skills and sharpen our blades and become stronger and better. And if you're just using something that's more powerful, well, then that's basically cheating. So it kind of makes sense that he would say no to certain weapons. You know, and then there's all the extra lore that goes with a lot of different foundries of some of them abusing, you know, PvP modes or contest modes or whatever, like Tex Mechanica back in the past and other stuff like that. And then like the one you pointed out with Soros Regime. But then there are other weapons that, you know, just have that air about them of being just banned outright by everybody, and such as like Red Death and, you know, other stuff. So it's just kind of funny that we have all these examples of certain weapons just being too naughty to use. But for whatever reason, I guess we're like just okay with that now because it's Onslaught, obviously, which is, it's got its own little lore thing. Shaxx is overseeing Onslaught, but Onslaught has kind of this weird twisty thing on lore because Onslaught is us fighting against the pyramid, you
Yeah, they're
know.
like actually invading, right?
Yeah.
They're taking a shot at us. So
Yeah, they're taking over.
I actually haven't played any Onslaught yet. I've
Oh,
been
man.
busy, and then Dead Island's DLC came out, and I could not say no to bashing some zombie brains.
Sure.
So it is all kind of new to me. I'm gonna take this off while we're not talking about the lore card.
Well, it's good because it's all new to everybody, you know. So it's still it, and there's still things that haven't been revealed yet. I have a sneaky suspicion that we're going to see some new stuff on Tuesday, just because I read all the new stuff. It's still considered a part of the season of what the hell season are we on? Season of the Witch still? What the hell
Wish.
is this season? Wish.
Wish.
Season of the
That's why
Wish.
it was hard
Yeah.
to remember, because it went from witch to wish.
Wish. Yeah. Sorry. Where are we? What year is this? So yeah, it's in there. So it keeps getting updated until we see, you know, the next big thing. So it's in there and we're getting new stuff, and a lot of people might not be aware that things are being dropped on the regular as we get new content. So Onslaught, here we are battling the witnesses and minions that have been attacking us, and Shaxx has decided to let everyone just use all of the arsenal of banned weapons because, you know, here we are in the middle of just the witness messing with us, basically. You know, the witness is throwing down his minions at us because, well, not actively because he's inside the Traveler. They are in the pyramid just coming down and attacking us because that's their directive. That's their, you know, that's what they were told to do or whatever. So we have certain enemies that we're facing that are just coming down and you know, wrestling us over and over and over again. And so Shaxx is like, hey, look, you know, what a great opportunity for y'all to get better. So get good, bro. Go out there and kill them. And here, by the way, since they're going to not play fair, we're not either. here's all the banned weapons. I'm opening up my doors, and if you're good enough, I'll let you have the even, more, I don't know, special versions of them. So not only do we get these new versions of old weapons that were banned, we also get a shiny version. So if you unlock the quest step for each particular weapon by using that certain archetype in Onslaught or other places, you will get a shiny version of it. And I don't know why I'm calling it a shiny version. I guess it's just because I've heard that and seen that
Well, that's what
being
everyone
used.
calls them.
Yeah.
And I mean,
So there's
it's from
like,
Pokemon.
yeah, I figured. I'm not a Pokemon fanatic, so I wouldn't know. But the weapon has like a curated role, which is kind of cool. And at first glance, you look at it and you're like, well, why would I, how could I use that? What is this, But I actually use some of the shiny versions that I've acquired, and it makes a lot of sense. Like certain roles that they put together are like super powerful. And I guess that's the trick. They're trying to get force you into a scenario where you'll try out curated roles that have a really good, I hate this word, synergy about them, So anyway, that's what Shax is up to. That's what we're up to. And if you can make it to 50 waves in your own fire team, then you're like your top dog, so you get the pinnacle reward. The furthest my wife and my son and I have all gotten is 32.
Wow. Is it really tough?
No, we just I've been focusing on trying to unlock the weapons, so I'm using weapons I wouldn't typically use, and I'm not really paying attention to things like what are they called, the champions, so when we get the champions, I never have a triangle, I never have a square, or I never have a circle when I need it, so I just spam them with rockets and supers. So
Well, it
once I
really.
unlock once I
Oh,
yeah
go on. Finish
I
your
was
thought.
just gonna say, once I unlock all the weapons, I'll go in there and take it seriously, and I think we can knock it out. It shouldn't be that bad.
It really seems like they're trying, as you were saying, with the curated roles and all this, they're trying to embrace, and I really hope they are. They're trying to embrace power creep a little and just be like, all right, you know what? You're just gonna be strong. It is what it is. And that's kind of like what the prismatic subclass looks, in my opinion, looks to be. And I was really interested in that when I saw that because it was like, so when I first heard it, I thought, are they going to let us pick one dark and one light and just kind of put them together? And then I was seeing there was like strand and stasis or solar and void. And I was like, oh, okay, so it's not just one and one, it's a little of everything. And then I was wondering, like, how far are they putting that? Can you literally just take everything? Is it just a combination of everything? And then that graph came out where
You're going on. I'm
yeah
sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt.
no it's fine, where it was like, okay, for Void Hunters you have this ability, this ability, this ability. And it's kind of another curation where they're like, we want hunters to embody invisibility and probably not devour anymore. Because, like, that's how my Void Hunter runs, where it's like always invisible, always devour, always, like that. And so from chat, just to bring this in, because this never happens. Sarah and the Synth asked, thoughts on the new prismatic class items and what exotic perks are y'all hoping to combo from them? I personally really think the best combo perks would be like one of those like general perks, like six coyote or things like that'll give you an extra dodge, something like that. And then also you're like Gyrfalcons, so it's like you're OP exotic, and then you're kind of underrated, always active perk, things like that. That would be like fucking chef's kiss for me.
So they're giving us what we've all been kind of clamoring for since day one, even though we all knew it was probably not a good idea, but I guess it is a good idea now. I mean, so ever since we first had exotics, everybody's been like, well, why can't I use more than one? And so now they're kind of giving you a little bit of a window to that. And then also, like, why can't I just combine my, supers and do different, morph them or whatever? It's funny because you and I, a while back, maybe like 5 or 6 episodes ago, we were talking about what do you think the new subclass was going to be. And one of the things we were talking about was, oh, do you think they'll just blend all the supers together and give us a, like, because we were like, well, what could it possibly be? What color could it be? What could it be? And that was one of the things we were wrestling with, was what if they just took all our supers or all of our subclasses and just morphed them together and made a light subclass?
I've been saying that for years now, that I wanted to have that I thought, instead of a dark ability, that it would be cool if we had like a mixture of, and I think what I had originally said was a mixture of your two original subclasses from like Destiny 1. Hunters started out with Arc and Solar, so they would get the Arc Solar combo class. Warlocks would get the Void Solar combo class, and Titans would get the Void Arc combo class. So it is exciting to see that they're going for that.
That is cool. It definitely is cool. And I hope that they keep going with that. I hope that that is the new thing. And maybe because we're at a point now where light and dark are no longer opposing forces. We've embraced them both to be a part of the same paracausal ability slash, and I think we're going to learn entity. So anyway, later on, I think this is my what is the word? This is my prediction. Okay, so
We
we're
should
going to
start
learn
writing
that.
these down.
Yeah, we
We'll
should.
keep a
This is my prediction
whiteboard.
that light and dark, obviously, we're synonymous all along, and I read something from a really long time ago that kind of enforced this, and it was planted in the season of the Witch, and it was just right there in the middle of a bunch of confusing lore, and I thought, wow, that stands out for a reason. So here we are. But Ulantan was right. Light and dark are getting together and having a baby, and it's just us going ham on the whole universe.
Yeah, I think it will be as well. I mean,
So
it's really the question of like the Veil plus the Traveler. Like we still don't really know what the Traveler is. And on our last episode, we were talking about like my original interpretation was like this is the Traveler. This is how the Traveler was created. And no, it was the Precursors talking about the Traveler.
Well, I've said it before and I'll say it again. We have the most apparent thing that we have today is we have the many that came from the one versus the many that became the one. So we have ghosts from the Traveler, which created us, and then we have the precursors that created the Witness. So there's this culmination of events about to happen. And I don't think that there is two origin points. I think there's one singular origin point for all of this that has happened. And we'll find out more on next week's Bat Channel, whatever. So like that's the trick. But here we are, we finally gotten to a point where we've embraced the light and the dark, and it's gonna close out that saga. So as far as what happens after all of that, hey, we are
I mean,
paracausal entities, and there's always going to be a threat somewhere.
like I think we know for a fact, based on where Season of the Witch left off. And the upcoming info, not infographics, the upcoming graphics that we've seen, Xivu Arath, I believe, is next up. And then something. Oh wait, no. What's the first episode after Final Shape? It wasn't the Hive one. The Hive was the second one, right?
Yeah, you're right. I forget what the enemy was on the first one. Yeah, because there's three. And from what I heard or what I remember, if I remember correctly, the three have three in each one, and you don't technically have to play them all in order.
So the first one appeared to be like a Scion looking shape, which would be interesting. Why do I remember?
That could lean into the new enemy race we're about to fight, the Dread.
Yeah, so it could just be like Dread Remnants. Oh, and it's literally called Echoes.
There you go. So there it is.
I think that's a very likely, especially because and this might just be another Destiny doing Des Bungie doing Bungie here. They love to use a word, a single word, to describe seven entirely different things, And one of those words right now is echoes, which is different. When we see Osiris, remember when Osiris had those like gold forms of him and he like spread out or whatever? He used to use echoes, which were similar to that, except they were dark in origin. Now he uses whatever those were, and they had a different name. So echoes might actually be the what was it called? I already forgot the race.
The dread.
The dread. Echoes might be derived from like dread magic, and so kind of like
Interesting.
how the Hive have their own magic. But I was wrong. Heresy, which is almost definitely going to be Xevo Wrath, is the third episode. The second episode is Fickrell, the Scorn. If not Fickrell, someone who looks exactly like Fickrell, because it's literally his fucking head. Which, there's so many things. We have so
There's
many
so many
loose
things.
ends. There's going to be a huge power vacuum. Everyone's going to be going for it. Like the Light and Dark Saga, and I feel like we've said this many times before, and I'm sure many other people have said this many times before. Light and Dark Saga is not the end of Destiny. Light and Dark Saga is not the end of the Light and the Dark. It's just the end of the Witness and potentially the Traveler. But
Absolutely.
we should get into the lore card because
All right,
we
let's
really derailed.
buckle down. Buckle down. All right. So the lore card. It's an easy one. I mean, for the most part, everybody knows what a coup is. But I wanted to kind of go a little bit deep on this one because it's an oldie but a goodie. And it had to do with a particular character, which we'll talk about later. But a coup has its origin in French. The phrase is from coup d'etat, which literally means stroke of state or blow against the state. It is a sudden and often violent overthrow of a government, typically carried out by a small group of people to seize power. A coup is a sudden and often violent overthrow, but it's typically carried out by the small group of people, such as a military officers or politicians, to seize power. The term, like I said, occur or originates from French, but it entered the English language late in the 18th century, and it's been used to describe various types of government takeovers ever since. Political intrigue and power struggles were not uncommon in ancient civilizations, which often resulted in dramatic changes in leadership and government. And so, like one of the earliest recorded instances, often cited as a coup, occurred in ancient Rome, 509 BC. This event was known as the overthrow of the Roman monarchy. This saw the expulsion of the last Roman king, Lucius Tarquinius Superbus. Y'all have seen that name before in Destiny. And it was the establishment of the Roman Republic. So I think I brought that in because the particular character that involves the coup is from a faction, an enemy race, the Cabal, which are very much inspired by Roman, ancient Roman Empire stuff like that. In fact, all their names are, come from that. While not a typical military coup, this particular event involved the overthrow of a ruler and the transfer of a power to a new political system, which marked a significant historical transition. And so, like I cited some other ones that were famous in ancient times, such as the assassination of Julius Caesar. Everybody knows that one, Et tu, Brute. While not a traditional coup, also Julius Caesar's an assassination by a group of senators led by Brutus and Cassius resulted in a significant political upheaval and the eventual rise of Caesar's adopted heir, Octavian, aka Augustus, which became the new ruler. Then there was also the Sejanus affair, which is Lucius Aurelius Sejanus, the Praetorian prefect of Rome under Emperor Tiberius. He attempted to overthrow Tiberius and seize power for himself. However, this plot was uncovered and he was executed, which marked the end of his coup attempt. And then there were the Year of Four Emperors. After the death of Emperor Nero, a period of civil war ensued as several contenders vied for the imperial throne. This included Galba, Otho, Vitellius, and Vespasian, each of whom briefly held power before Vespasian emerged victorious, and therefore was, became Flavian. So this is where everything kind of came to the end, and you saw a whole new landscape unfold. But what's interesting is all of these different political upheavals and coup d'etats, if you will, all led to a series of events that created what we now know as the lay of the land in certain areas of Greece, Rome, even stretching down as far as like England and all and Russia and all of the different territories that evolved from that. So it's interesting how one little coup can spark off an event that'll lead to another event and another event and another event, kind of like destiny. Just because you get rid of callus one day doesn't mean there's going to be another callus in a different version later on down the line, like we saw with Gaul. Gaul became the new ruler after he, was tried to take our light and stuff like that. And then we have Keitel, who was a part of the whole Midnight Coup operation originally. So there we are.
All right. So, awesome. Sorry, I didn't.
Sorry.
That's just, I was like, oh shit, that's it. Okay.
That's abrupt. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It caught me by surprise. You got me.
Yeah.
Keeping me on my
Well, there's not
toes.
much to say about it. It's just like that is what a coup d'etat is, but I think that is important because just because we've destroyed one baddie doesn't mean that another baddie won't emerge. And look,
Naturally.
we've learned that every time we do something, 10 moves down the line in on the chess table, we realize, oh crap, we might have made a mistake back then. Because now we've got to deal with this new baddie that emerged because of the events that we created.
Yeah.
It's
I
like you were
mean,
talking about vacuum, power vacuum,
Yeah, and like you're saying with that, I'm often in the opinion of a hero does not get to die of old age. I remember reading, and I read it, fucking Christ, 14 years ago, 15 years ago now, Jesus Christ, in high school, Beowulf, where it was like, all right, so he fights Grendel, and then Grendel's mom's like, dude, what the fuck? And so the mom comes to fight him, and then he bangs the mom or something, right? And then then his son comes to kill him, and that's when he ultimately dies, I think. And it's like he's a hero. He doesn't get to be like, I did it. Someone else now. It's no
There's
every
no, there's no, there's no happily ever after.
no. And so when we defeat the witness, it's just something else. It's just something else. It's just something else. It's always something else after that.
Always something. It's always something.
And so we jumped ahead with Midnight Coup, because that is one of our brave arsenal weapons. And so we're just going to be reading the lore entries, of these, and just kind of talking about it. I hope there's not an actual order to these. I didn't think of that. Is there? Have you
I
read
don't
them?
think so. Yes, I have. They're pretty much just narrated kind
Just
of summaries
snippets,
of what,
yeah.
yeah. But they go
Vignettes.
a little bit deeper. So it's all lore that we're familiar with, but this gives a little bit more seasoning on that plate of
All right.
food that we got.
All right. So then we're gonna read these now, and we're gonna try to get through them all. They're small, so it shouldn't be too difficult to do so. But so I'll read this first one, and then we'll go back to the top, and we'll just alternate like we usually do.
Word.
So the conspirators were too afraid to kill me, rightfully so. I am the beloved father of the people, and the glorious mob would not suffer my death. My sentence was exile, former Emperor Callus. And so naturally that was talking about why he was put on the Leviathan, which is very different from Leviathans. You know,
Yes.
one of those
Yeah.
many used words. And so then the entry, "That's awfully ruthless, no?" Lord Shaxx queried. "It's one thing to kill an enemy in combat, but executions? That's dirty business. I know from experience." "Hmm," Saladin grumbled, turning the elaborate hand cannon over in his hands. "I felt the same way at the time. I was content to let Kallus roll away in deep space, drinking himself into oblivion." Saladin furrowed his brow. "But after Neomuna, after going tusk to tusk with the Shadow Legion, I wonder if his exile was mercy or weakness." "Careful, Valix," Valus Shaxx quipped. "Your Empress might not take kindly to that sort of talk." Saladin passed the hand cannon back to Shaxx with an approving nod. "I doubt she feels differently. Seeing her father changed like that had to be harder in the long run." Shaxx holstered the cannon. "Maybe so, but that's what sets Keitel apart. It's what set the Vanguard apart. Acting with honor, even at great cost to ourselves." "Sometimes our honor is the cost," Saladin rebutted. "And we'd better remember that on the other side of the portal." And so,
Yeah.
did I?
You read the hand cannon first, but that's okay.
No, that was on purpose because we just talked about Midnight
Okay.
Coup. I haven't
So what?
finished Season of the Wish. Have
Yeah.
you? Did Crow go into the portal already?
Yes.
Okay, good for him. I was so
Yes.
confused when they were like, "Crow's inside the Traveler," and I'm like, "Fucking when?" I forgot I haven't
Or
finished.
where. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
like how do you manage that? He fucking wished upon a star and got inside.
Pretty much kinda, yeah. Because like we were doing the whole thing in the labyrinth with
Oh
Tentacle
yeah,
Face
actually
Ghost.
yeah, he
Yeah.
must have wished because that was the whole thing with Season of the Wish,
Yeah.
huh? That
Yeah.
was an accident. I did not intend it to be that way.
That's all right. Well, he offered to be the guinea pig to do that because he obviously had something to prove because
Does he,
he's
though?
Crow slash Aldrin. Well, he's Crow slash Aldrin. He knows who he was in the past, and he has to atone for his sins of his self. I don't know, dude.
I don't
It's
think that's
so weird.
true.
The thing. Here's
Yeah.
the thing. Do you condemn somebody who has no recollection of their horror that they created in their former selves, if they have no knowledge of their former selves?
Well, let me give you an
Like,
example. I used to know a guy named Ben, and Ben was a fucking monster, right?
okay.
And then one day, like I Ben disappeared for like a year, and then when he came back, it was clearly Ben. We're not stupid. We can see that it was Ben. He said that his name was Kevin, and he was suffering from this very rare form of amnesia known as Changnesia, which is a
Okay.
very selective form of amnesia because he has like almost enough memory. It's like simple things elude him. Like when looking through binoculars, he thinks it makes things smaller, but it makes things bigger, for example.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was a weird time. I forgave him though, you know, because.
Okay.
So in that to answer your question, yes, I would forgive. I would move on with Crow as I have
Yeah.
with Kevin. He was lying, it turned out, so I guess I was wrong. Was this whole
They're
thing.
like where it's funny because we're talking about this because the actual lore card that I read last week that brought me to basically a new revelation. It wrestles with that same exact concept that you just described. Do you persecute somebody for the sins of their former self if they have no cognitive knowledge of their former selves any longer? So, like, can you throw somebody in jail if they have amnesia, right? For all the crap they did. If they're literally a new person today, like Aldrin is, or Crow, Crow is,
I
can we persecute him for being Aldrin, right?
in reality, I don't know. That's a really hard question. In the case of
Yeah,
Crow slash
it's very hard.
Aldrin, it's a very easy question because Aldrin already paid. You
Yeah.
know, like he was
Yeah.
killed. He was executed. Crow is a
Yeah.
different person who had already suffered years of paying for Aldrin's crimes. And obviously, if someone killed one of my friends, it would probably be really fucking hard to forgive their face. But
Yeah.
you know.
I mean, I guess that kind of washes it, right?
Yeah.
And who knows what we did before we were revived?
Yeah.
I mean, we all
And
think that we're inherently moral people, that were revived by the Traveler, but like they go on to explain that, there may or may not have anything to do with how great of a person or whatever you were in your former life. It just might be that it was happenstance or luck of the draw or this area was touched by the light or these particular entities had something inside them that called the ghost. And whether or not that was inherently good, it remains to be seen. It just happens that may or may not have sparked something that had a previous conduit or connection with the light, in some fashion.
And it's
But
funny that you bring this question up because I was actually thinking about Banshee the other day, and
yeah, good example.
how great Banshee is as a character, because you have the two halves of Clovis existing. You have the
Yeah.
one who, like, I don't know if ego death is the right word for it. Do you think becoming an Exo is experiencing ego death?
That's interesting. I don't know.
But
I would
so,
hope
like,
not.
you have the Clovis AI, who is
Yeah.
like as perfect a Clovis clone could be without just
Yeah.
literally being his brain uploaded. And then you have Banshee, who, when he was Clovis, when he was Clovis 1, before he was Banshee 44, when he was Clovis 1, he felt this sense of duty. And it was like, yes, I have to, I have to, create and build things up and all that stuff that Clovis also had. It's just over the years of Clovis like facing death and everything, he kind of spiraled into this madness of like immortality and godhood and stuff like that. But when you have like newborn Clovis, you see how he had his origins and how he was probably not like a sociopath. And just like a normal guy who just wanted to create and better the world. And because of that, because of starting fresh as Clovis One and going through the trials of fighting off the Vex to save people, save Exo on Europa with Elsie,
Right.
he grew differently than the Clovis who became the Clovis AI did. And so it's a really well created character that gets to exist like that because of just because of how that panned out.
Yeah, Banshee's definitely one of my favorite characters in game. He always has been. That's how I created my character. I think I've said that before, but I tried to make my guardian look as much like Banshee as I could. I just couldn't get the same combination because they wouldn't allow it. But yeah, it was great, discovering that, this old forgetful Exo ended up being a pretty big character after all that time. I just identified with his old guy curmudgeon type of, characteristics.
Well,
So, yeah,
sorry.
we'll read the next one. But like I wanted to kind of touch on what you were saying real quick. So the idea that there is like, like, this is a really cool thing because we're coming to the end and we're finally getting some insight into what's been happening all along. In the light blesses us with the ability to forget, the ability not to forget, but not necessarily to forget, but to be okay with forgiving. Does that make sense? So, this comes from a place in real life, where, typically your first thought as a human having a human experience is when something bad happens to you by a particular character or person, your first instinct is, to get back at them, right? Or to do worse back to them so they don't do it to you. But there comes a time when you need to forgive in order to give grace so that, people can grow, and people can dip into the stream of Calexis Unified energy, whatever you believe in, and blossom into a new enlightened version of themselves. And people who realize this early on will definitely walk a different life path for themselves and whatnot. And that might manifest its way in all kinds of ways. But the light doesn't necessarily mean inherently good, and darkness doesn't mean inherently bad. They're just two sides of the same coin, that oscillate between one another. There comes a time when both are necessary, because without one, obviously, there is no the other. How would you even know one existed unless you had the other? All of these things we've heard repeated over and over and over in real life and in game. But what I find interesting is where they really kind of narrowed our focus here as we're going into the light. They've kind of shown us that the darkness is tied to memories, remembering when somebody hurt you, remembering the fear and the threat of the entity that is, creating the havoc and chaos and destruction in your life. Because if you don't remember, then you can't prevent it from happening again. However, on the other side of that, there's the light, which is all about forgiving, giving grace, allowing people to become hopeful, growing beyond their experiences, moving past those, what do you call them? Just moving past the things that were done against you, right? And so, but you can't be all in on the light and you can't be all in on the dark. There comes a time and place for both of them where without one or without the other, you can't evolve. You can't grow because there's always going to be imminent threat. And you got to remember, hey, I've learned some lessons along the way, but here's what I've learned. At the end, I've got to give certain things hope and grace, and then I've got to beat the shit out of other certain things to keep them from, taking my existence. And so the wisdom is knowing when it's necessary to use which side of that coin. And I think that's where we are. I think that's where we are. I think that's what they're trying to drill down. And it's no longer, oh, the darkness is the big baddie. No, the darkness has been a part of us all this time. We're just remembering. So, anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Absolutely.
That's kind of heady.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because there's like parts of me that I'm like, I want to keep talking about this, and then there's another part of me that's like, but we have a show to do, and I never know what the right thing to do is. Like, do we just let the next five episodes be the Brave Arsenal, and we read one
No,
entry because we
we'll
keep
make it.
distracting ourselves?
No, we'll make it. I'll read this next one. So, Blast Furnace, forged in the hottest fire. That's funny because blast furnace is where you would quench steel or a sword, whatever, and that's how you forge a sword. Anyway, so this is a dot 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 continuation, but I don't think they're necessarily meant to be read in order because I tried. And it didn't kind of come out, but they're probably then maybe there is an order to them. We'll be like, oops. Anyway, And I'll personally produce a limited number of previously unreleased designs, an alternate version of Blast Furnace. For example, Ada One explained, first, you strong arm us into altering our specs, the vice rep scoffed. And now you come begging for the very models the Vanguard rejected. They would have turned the Crucible into a graveyard, Shax interjected. I don't regret. I think that Lord Shax means to say, Ada interrupted, shooting the Titan, shooting the Titan a razor sharp glance. Is this your prototypes? We're ahead of the market. Their time to shine is now. Can the soft shell? Replied the Omalone rep. The numbers are right, so we're in. But what's the catch? The vice rep asked suspiciously. No catch. 801 steepled it, her fingers. In a year's time, we'll all be dead. The reps shifted uncomfortably. Or we'll have defeated the witness, she continued. In either case, it's time to diversify our offerings with newly released designs and more. The vice rep arched her eyebrow. What do you have in mind? Ada's tone warmed soft slightly. Just an idea. There's an old Cosmodrome program whose revival I think I could be quite useful. Sorry, I'm butchering that.
What does that
This one's a
mean?
hard.
Cosmodrome revival program whose revival?
There's an old
Like, is that
Cosmodrome
Rasputin?
program. Well, it's a program.
Yeah, right. But I really like this like
Yeah.
idea
Back and
of like
forth.
where we no this idea of where we stand right now, where it's like, what's the catch? It's like, no catch. In a year's time, we'll all be dead, or we'll have defeated the witness. This is
Yeah.
it. We need all the OP-ness that we can get.
Yeah.
And
I
speaking
kind of
of,
butchered it because it's like several people talking and it's hard to like pick up on the nuances, but
yeah,
yeah.
the back and
It's
forth.
Shax, Ada, and some, Vice and Omalone reps all having a discussion or slash argument about what to do.
Our next entry is everyone's favorite, Edge Transit, which is so funny that they brought Edge Transit back to be like, hey, remember this? You used to get this all the time. Didn't you like it? So
Burnt edge.
what did you trade
I
away to
said.
secure passage to the Edge? Sorry.
No, I was just gonna say the flavor text is so funny.
Oh.
Now that we've got so many edge transits.
Yeah. So Devrin was surrounded as soon as he arrived in New Tubark, Turbark. Villagers patted him on the arms, children tugged at his fatigues, and homemade treats were stuffed into his pockets. Each one thanked him in their own way. Eventually, the village leader, Jocham, led him to a small homestead. A spread of tea and sweet pastries were laid out. Devrim was honored. Tea and sugar were rare commodities far this far away from the city. We expect another offensive in the coming weeks, Devrim advised. We suggest you start preparing immediately. Jochem grinned. We have been preparing ever since the last attack. We now have the tripwires, barricades, and even an auto turret. Devrim's chest swelled with pride. It was not long ago that he'd taught these same villagers to defend themselves against the Shadow Legion captors. At the time, he wondered whether they would last the winter. Now they were stronger than ever. Would you like to see the upgrades? Jochem offered. Devrim beamed. Nothing would make me happier. So this is really interesting to know that there are just people living like not in the city still. There are like small villages out there doing their own thing.
This is one of the things they were talking about during the live stream is that, we've experienced what it's like being a guardian, but there's also regular people out there that are having to deal with life on a regular basis, doing what they can to help us out too. And so, we're there to protect people from the threats like that, this chaos that's trying to destroy the Cosmodrome in certain areas because of the pyramid ships or parts of the sections of the city, yada yada yada. And so this is nice because they're kind of giving you like a little bit of a human touch on these things as to, hey, we're not the only ones out here having to deal with this stuff. There are people that can lose their life forever in an instance, unlike us, out there, being heroes. So yeah, it's pretty cool. And Onslaught, obviously has turrets, so this is telling you like how did we get turrets in Onslaught? So they're showing you how they can use the new tech we have. So the next one's Elsie's rifle. Everybody knows this one, this first gun you get that's really important in the game, other than Kvostov. Elsie's rifle, the future is built by many hands. And Shax's massive hand swallowed up his pen. He effortlessly held his map in the other. The fierce wind at the highest point of the old tower couldn't pull the paper from his hands. Elsie surveyed the horizon. The city, alive and vibrant, stretched out before her, overlaid in her memory with its corpse. She turned and pointed. There, the edge of Core West. That wall fell first in the bombardment. As Elsie turned, Shaxx shuffled around her, still clutching his map. Perimeter South. Hive appears dug in under the wall. Botso was overrun at the old gate. It hadn't been reinforced in years. Anchor District. A pyramid ship landed and crushed the water tower. By the time Elsie finished her recitation, Shaxx's map was dark with annotations. He set a hand on Elsie's shoulder gently in his movement for all his size. On my oath, these walls will not fall again.
Badass of
So,
Shaxx.
yeah, so this is cool because Elsie's basically showing Shaxx where the dark timeline happened, like when the bad things happened in her.
Oh.
Yeah. So when she's remembering, hey, this is where we were, this is where they attacked us. Here's where it is.
Yeah,
She's basically
overlaid in her
showing
memory
Shaxx
with
where
its
to fork.
corpse. Oh, that's clever. That's interesting. I wonder how exact the loop would be, like, because things have changed so much. Naturally, they can't attack in the same spot. But maybe.
Like butterfly effect, or is it just everything will always happen as it always was type of timeline thing?
And, at this point, how many times are we going to get fucking Elsie's rifle? I think this is
Well,
the, like, we're in double digits now. If not, we're close.
we have the shiny version too now.
Yeah, and I would count the shiny version as a separate entity. It's kind of like if it's an adept version, but
Would you count?
yeah. So let me see if this is the next one. The next one will be Fallen Guillotine. And yep, got it. Okay. What won't be given must be taken. This place has the best sake, the Titan bellowed. The warlock beside him grunted in assent. Araito chuckled to himself from his unseen position at the grill. His family's sake was fermented inside a discarded servitor. The distinct tang came from rust and ether. We should enjoy it while we can, the warlock replied. Might not get many more chances. Fear not, his dinning companion declared. We'll find a way into the portal. Araito thought he recognized the Titan's booming voice, but couldn't place it. The cook was struck by how strained it sounded. And once we do, we'll rip the witness's head right off, smoke and all, just like I did to that carper, Fellwinter. Wait, what? Here was someone who had died many times, who had lost countless comrades, who produced fire from their bare hands, and yet the undercurrent from beneath the Titan's voice was unmistakable. Araito was disquieted. The false bravado frightened him more than any admission of doubt ever could. So is that Shaxx? Or Saladin?
I thought it was Saladin, but
I think it's Shaxx because of how much screaming there is.
Did Shaxx have a run-in with Fellwinter?
Well, I mean,
I can't remember.
yes, right?
I thought, yeah, maybe it was Shaxx. Yeah, because Shaxx was the Iron Lord that they were trying to get, or
Well,
he
the
was the
warlord.
warlord they were trying.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the warlord they were trying to get on his side, and Fellwinter went to go and recruit him, and then they had a falling out. Yeah, I forgot. So Shaxx.
Remembrance. Fellwinter. Warlord Shax accepts my challenge, Fellwinter said, summarizing its contents. He advises us to enter from the south wall, which has been destroyed. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. That's probably Shax talking about the times that he beat the shit out of Fellwinter.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, I forgot about Shaxx's run in with Fellwinter.
All right.
All right, so next one is forbearance. Shape, temperance. This is a relatively newer weapon for I don't know why it got banned. I never used it, but maybe it was pretty
It's apparently one of the
bad.
best wave frame grenade launchers, and
Oh.
I've never gotten it crafted, and none of my friends in my clan, or not often at the very least, are running what is it? Disciple, whatever of the disciple
Yeah.
that raid. So I never got it. So I actually do need to get this get a
Okay.
good one. So I'm excited for this.
All right. So, shape, temperance. Marasov stepped lightly. She knew that nothing short of gunfire could disrupt the Cryptarch's meditation. Yet, she was still loath to disturb the uncanny silence of Hygieia Division's library. She approached and raised Dai, where Cryptarch Siala held a glowing engram in her hands. It pulsed faintly in time with her heartbeat. The queen wears a question on her face, Shala stated, her expression impassive. You see beyond sight, as always, Queen Mara replied. What will happen when the darkness of the witness commingles with the light of the traveler? The cryptarch set the engram aside and held her hands out, palms up. Some believe that light and darkness are opposites, contradictory, irreconcilable. But we all know better. Jala brought her hands together in a sharp clap. When light and dark merge, they form something more. Her fingers intertwine, a synthesis, stronger than alone, powerful, like the Awoken. And like our people, she concluded, its form will arise from memories of the forgotten. Those who witness the end and return as a beginning. Yeah, there it is.
Stuff like that makes me wonder, like Elsie experiences a loop, but
Yeah.
the loop isn't always the same. But
Right.
does she alone experience the loop, or is the final shape is the success of the final shape creating the loop? Like, what if we're all actually looping, but Elsie is the
Yeah.
only one who actually has the memories of it?
Yeah, that's interesting. She was forged in, darkness, which gave her the ability to keep her memories.
And maybe that's why Exos are so like screwy like that. Like they have those dreams of the tower where they fight their friends. Maybe in a previous iteration of a loop, they actually were dark. You know, maybe they went dark and did fight their friends. Maybe Exos
Absolutely.
have that kind of ability to remember the loop.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the air quotes supposed lore explanation for that given to us by the Bray Tech founders was that it was a way to overcome their their death,
Yeah.
their exo death.
Yeah, the DER.
Yeah, der. So, but I think that was probably just like a little bit of a propaganda explanation to keep us from
Yeah.
the real truth.
Yeah, because when you start having these nightmares of killing your friends, it's kind of like, oh, well, that's just because of it's okay, you know? Like you gotta fucking squash that quick. Our next one is going to be Hammerhead. Hammerhead is another Black Armory, right? Okay, so that's two Black Armories, unless there was a third that I missed. Adit and Majora clung to the chain link fence, well beyond the outside perimeter of the Crucible viewing area. They peered past the motionless Red Jack stationed at the entrance, straining to see snippets of action on the massive viewing screens. Adit caught a glimpse of an arc explosion as the audience roared. Lord Shaxx's voice boomed from the loudspeakers. Your spirit is unrivaled. Show me more. Adit glanced over at her classmate. Majora's pinky finger was just a few centimeters away from her own, but it seemed like a kilometer. Adit cleared her throat, mustering courage. So, what Cryptarch Matsuo said in class today about, like, the final shape and everything? The witness? I can't believe what I'm seeing, Shaxx's voice rang out. Majora nodded gravely, though the visiting Cryptarch had explained the situation in the gentlest terms. The students understood the seriousness of the situation. Yeah, Majora replied. It's... I don't know what to do. Nothing we can do, I guess, Adit replied. Adit inched her pinky finger closer to Majora's for what felt like an eternity, and then finally they touched. Majora smiled. A stasis grenade detonated on the viewing screens, but neither of them heard it. Aww. That's sweet. We're gonna die and gotta make sure that we get this out of the way.
Yeah. It's so funny. I like that the Cryptarchs are, you know, involved in all of these because obviously they're the ones that know how to materialize stuff from engrams, right?
Yeah, or at least you'd hope.
They're wrestling with this engrammatic matter material that can be recompiled into forgotten weapons and stuff.
Yeah.
The next one, Hung Jury SR4. A scout rifle modeled by Dead Orbit's superb technicians and specialists. They called her the Roamer because she'd never lived in the city. In the bad old days, before Takanomi's Rangers, Tamsin didn't hide behind any wall. She stood 2 meters high, tall enough to ride her stolen pike. She was no guardian, not even a Woken. She was a plain human, like you and me, they say. Tamsin could go toe-to-toe with a Vandal. Tamsin wore larger boots than Shaxx, and her coat was so big that a family of six could use it as a blanket. Tamsin wouldn't stay put. She'd visit for a night, spin her stories, eat everyone out of house and home, and take off again. When you hear a tapping outside on a windy night, so they tell the kids down in Peregrine, that's no tree branch. That's no owl. That's Tamsin looking for a traveler companion. And if you open the door to her, she'll take you into the stars. City Center Library Anthropology Folklore, Dead Orbit's Foundation Myths.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, it is. So, like, there's this folklore story of this big towering human that basically will take you to the stars, like Dead Orbit wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Basically saying that light bearers aren't necessarily, you know, the only needed. Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. I can't help but feel like there's something more to that that we're just not able to get. Like, we're going to learn more, you know, like,
yeah.
Because I get that it's folklore, but it's just like,
yeah.
Like, what?
Well, you know, so like, here was my thought. We don't have time to unpack it completely, but I'll just plant the seed. Here's my thought is that maybe Tamsin had some sort of like kinship to the Cloud Striders because we knew Dead Orbit wanted to seek. Yeah. So we knew Dead Orbit wanted to seek elsewhere. And we knew that a particular Cloud Strider was aware of other places because they had to hurry up and cover that up. Remember the propaganda lore? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So maybe I'm just speculating, but maybe this was a Cloud Strider that came down and was like, hey guys, I'm trying to seek refuge because I really heard about you guys and I wanted to see it for myself. And then, you know, boom.
Yeah, like, because is there anything that says that there can't be more than two Cloud Striders at the same time? Because, like, there's two right now because one will apprentice and one will master, right?
Yeah, and maybe, you know, maybe it was like a proto Cloud Strider. Maybe it was like before that. Yeah,
like you think about this because it says she never lived in the city. In the bad old days before Takanomi's Rangers, Tamsin didn't hide behind any wall. She stood 2 meters high, blah, 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 blah. She was no guardian, not even a Woken. She was a plain human, air quotes, right? Like you and me, they say, and it's just like, well, was she though? Because it sounds like they're trying.
Well,
I think you're dead on.
she
I think you're dead
was,
on.
yeah, she was because she was made into a Cloud Strider like they were doing. So
Yeah.
maybe she was like one of the failed Cloud Striders that took off running, you know? I mean,
And that's.
every sci-fi lore, every sci-fi story has some story like this, you know,
Yeah.
where they were
Because.
experimenting on people making these superhumans and one of them got away, you
Yeah,
know?
well, it's maybe not even got away, but it just makes me think, like, what if someone did in the early days of Cloud Strider go through the program, became a Cloud Strider, and said, "I'm out," you know? And what do they do? And they can't really stop them, or I guess they can, but would
I mean,
they?
I think it wouldn't be so far off to believe that if a Cloud Strider realized I'm gonna live a short life, why would I want to live it here? Let me go somewhere fun.
That's a fair point. And that's a big reason why people became why people became Cloud Striders in the first place. So I don't know. I think you might have hit the nail on the head with that. The intention was that this was a Cloud Strider who now is definitely dead.
That's my speculation. I can't, you know. Anyway.
Yeah. So next up is Luna's Howl coming back once again. But I have not forgotten. Guardians never
Never
die.
forget.
But we don't forget those who do, Lord Shex. Joseph opened the door. Shex filled the hallway beyond. You look tired, said the crucible handler, but I have just the thing to get you buzzing. No time for the crucible, Joseph dissembled. Another day. I'll hold you to that. That's not what I meant. Joseph said nothing. I was speaking with Saladin, Shex continued. We were remembering all the people we left behind over the years. Your name came up. Oh, yeah? Shex held out a cardboard box perforated with large holes. The Valis, oh my god, the Valis asked me to deliver this. Joseph opened the box. At the bottom, in the nest of cloud accretions, were two sleeping war beast pups. They're not replacements, Shex explained, but we hope they bring some light back into your life. They're perfect, Joseph said, his voice tender. Thank you. See them settled when I expect you back in the crucible to teach my pups a thing or two. So for those who don't know, that is a great callback to the Luna's Howl Not Forgotten lore in which Joseph lost. Was it during the Great Disaster?
Yeah, I think so.
Where
'Cause it's on the moon.
Joseph had a dog and their dog died during the Great Disaster. So it's like saying they're not replacements. Here are some new dogs that you can actually take out and fight with, which is pretty sweet. And so we're
New
going to skip
puppies.
over Midnight Howl next, just so you know.
Yeah, so the next one is Succession, not the TV show.
My wife tells me I have to watch that.
Oh, it's so good. I finally watched it this last year. I had no not watched it until, and yeah, I finally get all the memes. Succession, a single word etched inside the barrel. Sylvie won. 4-year-old Eld leaned into Perilla 28's side, a half-eaten cracker forgotten and crumbling in his small hands. Did you know I was in the city for six fronts? I was already here, though I wouldn't meet your great-great-grandma for a long time yet. There wasn't a city then, Eld said confidently. It was all mud. Perilla 28 laughed. No, it was a true city by the time I got here. When the walls were finished, we threw the biggest party I'd ever seen. We thought we were finally safe. She paused, a hand on Eld's fine hair lost in her memories. Eld tugged at her sleeve. And then what? And then the guardians protected us, better than any wall could. The traveler's departure had left a hole in the city sky. Perilla gazed up at it. That's what they do. That's what they always do. Eld had stopped listening. He was shaking the cracker crumbs off his hand onto Perilla's dress. Auntie, he said very seriously, I need some juice.
So this is interesting. Specifically, so Succession comes from the there's so many raids that I just don't know anymore the names
Yeah,
of
the EXO one.
the Deepstone Crypt raid. And so naturally Deepstone Crypt is the whole EXO thing, and Sylvie is I believe is the mother of the Clovis Bray grandchildren.
Yeah, and that's who they're talking about, the great great grandmother or whatever. So this is the kid, but Perilla 28 is talking to, which is the auntie of the kid.
Yeah, and I wouldn't meet your great great grandmother for a long time yet, because
Yeah.
this is now revealing to us for the first time that Sylvie was made into an exo.
Yep, boom.
Yeah, because like that's because like the entry from Legacy Oath's Kell, which is the Warlock helmet, says it starts with, oh shit, where did it go? Sylvie is a stain on this family, turning my son against me every chance she gets. His death is on her hands too. Clovis Bray one. Clovis Bray the first, not Clovis Bray one, I'm sorry. Because Clovis Bray the second was the father of Elsie and Anna, or yeah, Elsie and Anna, and
Yeah, that's where it gets confusing, is people don't understand that there's
Alton
Clovis,
and
the
Willa.
people. Yeah.
And so Sylvie really loved him, your sisters told you, and Clovis the second really loved her even after he was unfaithful. So it's like, yeah, Sylvie is definitely their mother.
Yeah.
And I guess she turned into an exo, which is really interesting to learn because her husband died as an exo.
Yeah. I hope we get like an explanation for that. Like, well, I kind of already understand. Like, maybe they don't need an explanation because we kind of get it. Like, he died as an exo, so she's more or less probably going to be consumed with, I got to, figure out what happened to, even though like whatever happened, I got to go and figure out what was the cause of his death, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So maybe through that, she ends up being an exo too, which is just sad, but at the same time, like, what other choice did she have?
Yeah.
But then on top of that, like, you're leaving this kid behind, right?
And so this is actually really interesting because this entry, Legacy Oath, Cal is in the eyes of Elsie, and so she's sleeping, like she has a bad dream. And sleep finally comes, but it's still discomforting. You dream of murder and hot blood and a mannequin body made of knives. You remember forcing your way through a
Yeah.
tower of prison cells, slashing through prisoner after prisoner in order to get to the top. You wake up screaming, practically fall out of bed, but mom is there to catch you. Hush, hush, it's all right. It was just a dream. You cling to her
Oh, shit.
and it's your turn to sob. Nothing comes out of your eyes as you try to explain the dream. Everyone I knew was in those cells, you gasp. You and Dad and Willa and Anna and Alton. So that's how we know it's Elsie. Oh my sweet, your mother whispers. Of course you dreamt about killing us. Your grandfather made you this way, and he kills everything he touches.
Yeah.
That's kind of fucked up to say. But so this is like Elsie, but wait. This sounds like Elsie. See, this is what I mean about the loop happening.
Yeah.
This sounds like Elsie as a child who is pre-Exo Elsie, right? Pre-Exo Elsie having a bad dream and her mother saying, "Of your grandfather made you this way."
Yeah, that's sketch.
No, it'd have to be an Exo. She'd already have to be an Exo, right? Your grandfather made you
Yeah,
this
because
way. Your grand.
there's no tears, no tears, because she's an EXO.
Oh wait, yeah, it says no tears.
Yeah, no tears, because she's an EXO. So she's already in her new form, and
Yeah.
Mama's there to basically console her as she's walking in her new body, legs slash whatever.
Oh no, it says you don't know what to say because you only remember the warm feeling. She sobs and you smell the amino acid. Oh. Every
Yep.
time she looks at you. Yeah. Every time she looks at you, she screams and cries harder because Elsie had just been made into an exo.
Yeah. Oof. Origin story for why she's so pissed off.
Yeah. Okay, so next up is the mountaintop. So I'll take that one. In the heat of battle, Guardian, you will know the right choice to make, Lord Shaxx. Empress Keitel strolled between rows of legionaries, standing at attention. I commend you, Vala Saladin. The Empress projected her voice for the benefit of the soldiers. Your training has made the Iron War Beasts the very tusks of the Empire. Keitel returned to the head of their formation and gave a nod. Saladin's gravelly voice boomed. Armor and weapons will be stripped and stowed. Training begins in two cycles. Fallout. Once the soldiers had dispersed, the Empress toned soft. Your soldiers are exemplary, yet you seem unsatisfied. Many years ago, Saladin replied, at Twilight Gap, I gave an order that was disobeyed. A rash attack? The Empress inquired. Saladin shook his head. The opposite, a retreat. In retrospect, it was a mistake, he continued. If not for my soldiers' insubordination, we would have lost. I drilled the Iron Warbeast on darkness-based tactics from the Hive to Clovis Bray and back again. Saladin concluded, I just hope that when the time comes, they have the strength of conviction to defy the light with equal ferocity.
Yep.
Interesting. So
that's the falling out that Shaxx and Lord Saladin had when they were at Six Fronts. And then you see how he understood, oh, I should have let Shaxx do what he wanted to do all along. And our argument and issues we had was, you know, not a big deal. Because in retrospect, it was a mistake.
Yeah.
All
right. Well, we got our last entry. You want to close it out?
Yeah. Okay. The Recluse. Oh, man. Now, this one definitely was a baddie in the Crucible. My bite will turn your sweet flesh to vile rot. That's a recluse spider. You know, they do that. All right. Per your request, Lord Shaxx, the vice waved two fingers toward a nearby frame, which prompted it to open the metal suitcase on the table. Similar to your original design, the rep continued, with a few choice additions from our engineering team. She picked a speck of lint from... I'm sorry. Sorry for giggling, because I remember this one. She picked a speck of lint from the lapel of her couture jacket as she spoke. Shaxx examined the compact machine gun encased snugly in contoured foam. Seeing the weapon's profile stung him with memories, like an arrow through the shoulder. It's magnificent, he declared softly. She would have loved it. For a moment, the former warlord seemed lost in found reverie. The vice rep sat motionless at first, not wishing to disturb the legendary Titan's rare display of vulnerability, but then she decided to press her advantage. I hear the former queen's wrath was an impressive woman, she prompted. Lord Shaxx blinked, and the tenderness vanished from his eyes. He slammed the case shut. Give my compliments to your engineers, he replied gruffly.
Yeah, that's
sorry. A cut. Anytime they talk about Shaxx in his like unrequited love for, you know,
Mara. Unrequited? What are you talking about?
Well, you know, she can love.
No, Mara. No. You're reading this wrong, man.
Okay. He's talking about us.
No, he's talking about Shuriato.
Wait, what?
The former queen's wrath is Shuriato.
Oh, it is Shuriato. Oh man, I boo booed that.
Yes, you did. Where because Shaxx did not love Mara. He had a strong friendship with Shuriato.
Oh, that's right. You're right, dude. I screwed that all up.
Yeah, you did. See, the helmet stayed on.
Yeah.
Debunked forever ago now. The helmet stayed on as he was, yeah, because it stayed on because he was probably crying while reading The Tempest, mourning their lost friend, well, his lost friend and her lost lover.
Yeah. God dang it.
Embarrassing.
It is so embarrassing. Get on your game. Get good, bro.
Yeah, what the fuck, man? Get lore good, bro. We're supposed to be professionals here. Didn't you know that? Loose Cannon is a highly professional podcast where we never make mistakes.
Look, I will say this. There is so much shit rattling in my brain now because of Destiny. Oh, my God.
It's hard to keep track with all these things. Like, sometimes I'm just like, I remember when it used to be easy. Like, it used to be, like, back in, like...
There was nothing and we had to make it all up?
No. Back in the Taken King, when I would say something, I wouldn't just say something. I'd be like, from this entry of this grimoire, paragraph four. Like, it'd be so easy to rattle off all that bullshit. But now I'm like, did I make this up? Is this a theory? Did this actually get said? Is this from the game? Is this from
And I should have known
a
better. I
comic?
should have known better because I was the first one to say no, that
Yeah.
wasn't a romantic thing that
Yeah,
happened between
you were
Shax
on
and Mark.
that. Yeah. Well, that was a fun show, and our next show is going to be on May 5th. That has no problems for me. May 5th, and
Me
we're going to
either.
be talking about a new lore book that dropped called Two Old Friends, or potentially Book Two Old Friends. I'm not sure what the full name is.
It's Shaxson Sure.
Yeah, it's called Book Two Old Friends. And I'm excited for this one because a bunch of these titles are grimoire, and I always get excited with grimoire. So we're just going to go through and we're going to read these on our next episode, and it'll be fun, and we'll get distracted again, and it'll be good times.
Nice.
All right, everybody. We got to get going. So, bye.
Bye.